Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
A hearty welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. Hey, if you head over to the Nerdist YouTube channel, youtube.com/Nerdist, you can see All-Star Celebrity Bowling this week. We took on a team of podcasters, including Mark Maron, Greg Barron, the Sklar Brothers. We also had Cole Stratton and Todd Glass, and Jimmy Pardo. The episode is absolutely hilarious, thanks to those guys. So go over there, check it out, click subscribe, just friggin' cuz, and I hope you like it. Next week, Team Breaking Bad challenges Team Nerdist in our final episode of the first season of All-Star Celebrity Bowling. I have it on good authority we'll be back, because I run the channel. I would like to thank, as a returning sponsor to the Nerdist Podcast, GoToMyPC.com. You can get the app for your iPhone, GoToMyPC, then you can access your home computer from anywhere. You can carry your phone, except underwater, because you probably couldn't carry your phone underwater, but pretty much in any non-liquid space, or plasma, but that only exists on the surface of the sun, so I think you're probably okay just on any non-liquid matter on planet Earth. Go to my PC. You can edit PowerPoints, you can update spreadsheets, you can work on any file right from your phone. You can also log on to your Mac or your PC with the Go to my PC app for your iPad as well. So that is my recommendation to you. If you need to access your computer, then go to my PC. There's a special 30-day free trial just for Nerdist listeners. Go to mypc.com, click on the try it free button, enter the promo code Nerdist, then you can download the app on your iPad or iPhone. Thank you so much to GoToMyPC for continuing to sponsor our Lil Nerdist Podcast. I'm using Lil, of course, L-I-apostrophe-L. This episode of the Nerdist Podcast just happened last weekend. We were at Phoenix Comic Con. Lil Matt Myra, Lil Jonah Ray, again, L-I-apostrophe-L, and Lil Me went and did two shows at Stand Up Live, which is a great, great, great comedy club in Phoenix. Then on Saturday, went to Phoenix Comic Con, which has an extraordinarily awesome amount of cosplay there. I feel like next year we'll have to shoot a Just Cause episode there because the level of cosplay was fantastic. So our guest for this episode was Brent Spiner, who had been wanting to get on for a really long time, and he was there doing a Next Generation panel with a bunch of other Next Generation folks, and we had a phenomenal time. I didn't really know Brent before. You never know how people are going to be when you haven't met them before, and you pretty much meet them when they come out on stage, but he was great. So here we go. This is Nerdist Podcast, episode number 212, with the hilarious Brent Spiner.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Oh, is that mic taped down? Oh,
that's you don't get the rest.
Yeah,
that's taped down.
They want me to talk like this is a fucking hearing. Believe me, I have no knowledge of that night,
Mr.
sir.
Mr. Ray, were you ever involved with the Communist Party? Liar! Un-American! You shall never work again! Not because of that. I'm just not a fan of your work.
No. It's all subjective, really.
No.
Yeah.
Government's right, always.
My client, Mr. Ray, is not a communist. He's a communist.
Oh, well, there's no one's ever just come out and said it before. Yeah. Maybe you're not a communist.
My client is a communist still. Yeah.
Let him go. Let him go.
USA!
Oh, come on. Really, guys?
We're in Arizona. Have been American for almost 100 years.
In a room full of nerds, no one gets the ironic USA and people cheer for it for reals.
Yeah. Maybe they're ironically cheering it. Maybe they're just a bunch of great actors.
It's possible. Nope. Guys, we have a phenomenal show ahead for you, and we're just going to get right into it. So would you please welcome to the stage Mr. Brent Spiner! Let's have you here.
Thank you.
Oh, wait.
Thank
Is
you so
his
much.
Stuck, too? Do I have to get it?
Mr. Spiner, were you ever a member of the Communist Party?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. Let him go. I'm no good at this. I'm no good at finding commies.
You're more like Andrew McCarthy.
Exactly.
Remember the Andrew McCarthy hearings?
Andrew McCarthy. It is a wonderful honor to have you on the podcast, Brent Spiner.
You know what? As a vegetarian, I'm so happy to be doing a show where it's all the ribs you can eat.
Now I feel a bit weird about those chicken wings I was horfing down back there.
You know, I did lose complete respect for you. Yeah.
It's okay, because I never had any for myself.
Well, exactly. Nor should you, by the way.
Right?
You can't take away what was never there in the first place.
Exactly.
This is, it's unbelievable. The whole Star Trek, well, the whole cast is going to be at Phoenix Comic Con, right?
Well, not the whole cast, but the important ones.
Right. Yeah.
Calm mean he didn't get the invite again.
Exactly.
How many cons is this for you at this point? Do you even know?
Oh, yeah. This is number 7,283.
Holy shit.
But it's fresh every time.
Not the air.
Yeah.
Well. So we have a list of questions that you've never been asked before. What was it like to put those contacts in your eyes?
Exactly.
I'll tell you, I've been a huge fan of yours for a really long time. The character of Bob Wheeler on Night Court I was a hardcore Night Court fan, but every time Bob Wheeler came on, I got extra excited.
Oh, thank you. So did I, actually. He was my favorite character on the show. I liked Bull a little, mainly Bob Wheeler.
Mainly Bob.
I'm a huge fan of yours, too, by the way.
What?
No, isn't that what you're supposed to say?
Yeah.
Name one thing he's done besides this show tonight.
You know, I love this man's work. Your films.
It's Chris. I'm not really in a lot of movies.
Terminator 3.
I was in that. Because Bob Wheeler was a character that looked like, well, he was going to be a guest on one episode, but crushed so hard on that episode that you became a recurring character.
That's exactly what happened. And it wasn't just me. There was the woman who played my wife, and she's... forget her. Annie O'Donnell was her name. She was fantastic. And yeah, we came on for one episode, and we did six, and we were invited. I think they were thinking we were coming back as regulars the next year when I got Star Trek and decided to cut Annie loose.
That's what happened, yeah. Yeah, so it was between Night Court and Star Trek.
Yeah, and Night Court was in its, like, eighth year by then, and I thought, this is going nowhere.
Right.
So,
well, and also, because I had perceived you as I was younger than I am now, obviously, so I was like, oh, he's a comedy guy. But then here he is doing this, you know, like this very serious role in Star Trek.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, Data was very, very, very serious.
Yes. I couldn't stand that for too long because basically I did come from comedy and I wanted to push it in that direction. And they allowed me to do that, fortunately.
What was your comedy background?
I made my folks laugh a lot at home. And I had done a lot of Broadway and off-Broadway and stuff like that, and mainly comedy roles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it, it feels like whenever, like all the Star Trek episodes, I mean, all the Star Trek casts are generally like, the people have a lot of theater backgrounds.
Yeah, well, it's true. Oh, I didn't mention, too, that I did a pilot for a comedy series before I did Star Trek. We sort of talked about that briefly backstage, that Jim Nabors was the star of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was basically, you know Fawlty Towers?
Yeah, of course.
Well, it was basically Fawlty Towers, but it was set in Hawaii. And I was playing the John Cleese part. And Jim Nabors was playing the Manuel part. The and Manuel was the star of the show. It was horrible. I thought, well, okay, I'll do this. They'll pay me, and I'll be out of here. And while we were doing the show, I found out that the two guys who wrote it were Brandon Tartikoff's roommates in college.
Oh, gotcha. Wow. He ran the network.
He ran NBC at the time, and I thought, oh, my God, no. Am I going to have to do this show? And fortunately, you can find it somewhere online probably or on YouTube. It's called Sprayberry in Paradise. It's really dreadful.
Sprayberry?
Wait. They changed it. They made it better. It's called Sylvan in Paradise.
Oh, okay.
Because his name was Sylvan Sprayberry. But it was
Sprayberry sounds like something we all have two of.
That sounded like a kid's drink to me.
Except oddly, Jim Nabors only had one.
only one Sprayberry.
But it was an illustrious cast. It was myself, obviously, and Jim Nabors and Courtney Cox. Mm-hmm. And
the girl from the Bruce Springsteen video.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's who she was at that time.
Whoa, you got really Cougar was. Town's yeah. Courtney Cox?
No, this was pre-Cougar Town.
Pre-Cougar Town in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eddie Murphy's uncle was in the show.
What? Are you sure it wasn't just Eddie Murphy in makeup, old man makeup?
Was it a real fat uncle? Because that was Eddie in a fat suit.
Yeah, that was him. Yeah. No, you know, I think they thought at the time anything associated with Eddie is going through the roof.
That's right. Yeah. That was the kind of
so
star
they just
power.
Hired his uncle and never acted before.
How did you jump from? Where are you from? You're from Texas, right?
I'm from Texas. Yeah. I'm from Houston. Thank you. Thank you.
No, not a lot of love for Texas here in Arizona. I don't know what.
Well, at least in Texas, the heat is wet.
Yes. Ooh. I don't know what that...
You guys gonna take that shit? Come on, let's get him!
This motherfucker come up here and talk about your heat, you're gonna sit there and take it? Come on! What are you, communists?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, you're free to go. Shit, still no good at this.
So how did you get from Houston? Like, what was the journey from Houston to television?
Well, it was a long journey, actually. I just got up from the couch, turned it on. No, when I got out of college, I took a train to New York City. I arrived on New Year's Eve.
1898.
Exactly. I went to Times Square. There were thousands of people. It was like an amazing experience. I thought, this is going to be incredible. I came down with the Hong Kong flu the next day.
Oh, God.
I was sick literally for a month.
Was that like SARS?
Very much at the time, yeah. And so anyway, I did theater. I stayed in New York. I braved it. I did theater for 11 years. I lived in the city and drove a cab in New York City.
But you're white.
Different time, Jonah. Different time.
Tell me about this different time.
Actually, you're mistaken. I am black.
Whoa!
And
ladies and gentlemen, LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
You know what? I have been saying for years that inside every Jew, there's a black man beating to get out.
And in Billy Crystal's case, it worked and came out.
And it was Sammy, right?
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Anyway, so I drove a cab and I did theater and... I lived like a teenager for about 11 years, and because you don't make any money doing theater. And I thought, well, I need to actually be an adult now that I am in my 60s. And so I went to California with a play. I went with Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, wow.
And yeah.
Which character?
I played Seymour.
Ah, wow. Awesome.
Nice.
And I was sensational, of course, and they...
the reviews are in. Sensational, says Brent Spiner.
Exactly. Of the Brent Spiner Press. Exactly. But the last night of the show, a casting agent came named Lynn Stallmaster.
He was huge.
Yeah. And he cast me in two things in television, and I thought, wow, this is easy.
Yeah.
So of course, those were the last two jobs I had for about 6 years, but... I moved out to L.A. and started doing TV.
What year was this when you started doing television?
That was in the mid-40s, I think.
Okay.
No, it was actually... well, when was Night Court on? It was 80s.
Yeah, 83 to 80.
Early 80s.
Yeah. So what was the sort of TV landscape at that time? Because that was really... The 80s, like, sitcoms were... It's waned a bit now, but in the 80s, sitcoms were king.
They were excellent. I mean, the Saturday night... I mean... Ed Asner's here at this convention, you know.
Right.
It was like, I saw Ed Asner today. I was like, wow, Lou Grant.
And wow.
You know, isn't, by the way, the weirdest thing that ever happened in television when Lou Grant went from the Mary Tyler Moore Show to
being
the
a drama?
What would have happened if Ted had walked into the Lou Grant Show?
Hello, Lou, Lou. Oh, we're going to cover that rape story. Oh, no. I have cancer.
Exactly.
Yeah, I never understood that either. That was hard for me to comprehend why that happened.
Really strange, you know?
Do you guys know this and all what we're talking about? So the Mary Tyler Moore Show was a hugely successful sitcom. Yeah. And then Ed Asner was her, because some of the people here were born in the 80s. That's not even a fucking joke, sadly. And so her editor.
Well, I was, and I know this shit because I care. God.
Anyway, Lou Grant was Mary's boss, and then he had a spinoff show, but his spinoff show was a single camera drama.
And then they made All in the Family, followed by the drama Archie's Place.
Yeah, exactly.
Archie Bunker's
because
Place.
Because it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
But All in the Family was, and
yes.
It was a great time in television, in sitcoms. Drama at that time was pathetic. It was Mannix.
Right.
You know, and...
Falcon Crest.
You know. I mean, Mike Connors, I think, won an Emmy for Mannix.
Are you serious?
I swear, because they couldn't figure out who to give one to. There was nothing...
Anybody want this?
Said, what about Cannon? No. Give it to Mannix.
That was that was the height of all the detective shows. Barnaby Jones and Cannon and Mannix and
Streets of San Francisco.
Rockford Files. Ironside.
Yeah. Simon and Simon.
Exactly.
That they know.
Yeah.
All those 70s cop shows, though, the fucking best theme songs of all of television.
They were. Oh, and let's not forget Police Woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson.
Yeah.
Hot.
Did you see the Johnny Carson documentary?
I did not.
It's great.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it. Tell me what I missed.
Well, it was really fucking awesome. But there was a recurring Angie Dickinson thread
right.
in the show because
there was in his life.
In
too.
His life, yeah. Yeah. And she just openly would be like, we should be fucking pretty much on the show.
And they were,
but they never made it as a couple. And they interviewed her today, and she was like, we were just never single at the right time.
That's how I feel about me and Matt.
Yep. Yeah.
And like Angie Dickinson and Carson, like you guys fuck still, but not...
It's not, but we're just
in different spaces in our life.
Yeah.
Angie Dickinson was actually a thread in many people's lives.
Oh, was she really?
JFK.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Burt Bacharach, yeah.
They definitely touched upon the fact that Carson liked ladies.
Yes.
But I heard that it was like... dark womanizing. Do you know anything?
I think he was a dark character. You know, he was not all lightness. He was a very serious, complicated guy. I did the show once.
How was it?
But he wasn't there.
Oh.
Who was it? Who was the host?
Joan Rivers?
I shudder to tell you who the host was that night.
Who was it?
Jay Leno.
Wait, hang on.
He just likes to work.
I just want to find out what you're booing. Are you booing the fact that he did the Tonight Show, or are you booing the fact that it was Leno who was hosting?
Leno! Okay. I'm sorry, here with
when I did the show, and the other bad part about it was Oscar night, and it was on opposite the Oscars.
Jesus.
So you know, not a lot of people saw it, but...
So, Brent, you play a robot, is that right?
He's crazy on that makeup.
I killed that night. But you know who the other guests were? Were Clint Black and Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
this predated Seinfeld, the series. And it was my first time ever doing anything like this. And backstage, he was backstage. He says, hey, you're going to enjoy this. And I said, how many times have you done the show? And he said, this is my 53rd. And I went, wow.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Even at that time, 53 times? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So was this Jay just filling in for Johnny? Or was
Yeah, he was filling in.
And ultimately took over the show.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad saying this, but seeing what the Carson show was.
Oh, man. When I was a kid, and this is like way before you were born, the Tonight Show from New York that was an hour and a half long was unbelievable. I mean, I stayed up every night to watch it. It was incredible.
There's they just released a new box set that's like $70 on Amazon, and it's 56 full episodes of The Tonight Show, spanning the whole Carson.
The whole thing. Yeah. They say that somebody threw away a lot of the early ones that were done in New York.
A lot of the early ones, they just have the audio.
But I remember when a show that they did that Brando was on, and he was hilarious. And he was on with Zsa Zsa Gabor, and he insulted her, and she walked off the show. But
seems to be kind of hard to insult Zsa Zsa Gabor.
You would think so. Still, it's difficult.
Who's going to go to the amputation joke? Because I want to.
Yeah, he was one of those, was it Penn? I think Penn Jillette, someone who came on the podcast, had this idea that people who were super magnetic were actually also sociopaths, and that's what made them magnetic. And you sort of get that a little bit from Carson. Like, he seemed a little sociopathic.
Well, I know I am.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, my God, that's what a sociopath would say right after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Like, the numbers that they were throwing around of the... Like, you know, 25 to 40 million people watch The Tonight Show. Like, those numbers are relatively unattainable now.
Oh, totally. And, you know, you don't really like just... I stayed up every night for the monologue. If I could just see the monologue, I would go to bed. Because they were great.
Yeah.
And he was hilarious.
When... what year was it that you did The Tonight Show? What year was that?
Well, we were doing the series. It was probably the second year of the series. So what was that, like 88 or something?
Yeah. Matt, was that 88?
I feel like it was 86. 87. 87. It was second year. It was 87.
87.
Sorry.
Matt's a next generation computer.
Yeah.
Do you remember what month it was?
That you did The Tonight Show? Yeah.
I'm guessing it was
October.
March. No, it was March because he said it was the Oscars.
Oh, my God. I fucked up.
The clue was hidden right earlier.
I fucked up.
So
disappointed. I fucked up, you guys.
Yeah. Turn in your badge.
Please don't phaser me, sir. That's a thing they do, right?
Don't phase me, bro.
I did the polite version of the meme.
Yeah.
What was the Star Trek audition?
Well, it was pretty crazy, Chris.
No, Matt. I'm sure Matt actually probably really knows.
You know the story, Matt.
Did you? I mean, now Star Trek is such a part of our culture, but at the time was really like, you know, it had been syndication for a long time, and of course, you know, hugely popular among our demographic. But what did it mean to you when you heard, like, oh, they're going to, you know, do a new version of Star Trek?
It meant that I could pay off my bills, basically. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I thought, first of all, this is not going to work. You can't do another Star Trek. And I thought, well, you know what? If I can do it for a few months, I can pay my bills, and then they'll shut the show down because it's not going to be any good. And I'll be on my way. And I went in and I auditioned for Junie Lowry, who was a casting agent on the show. She said, I think you should come in and read for the producers. So I did. Having read the script, I thought this Data character was sort of interesting. So I went to audition, and they had originally said to me, I said, do you want this guy to be like a machine or like kind of like a person? And they said, we want him to be more like a person. And I went, all right. So I worked on it that way, and I'm about to go in the room and audition, and she came out, and she said, they've changed their minds. They want you to be more like a machine. And I said,
are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So I said,
and go.
I think I'm going to pass. And she said, well, don't pass. And I went, well, I can't go in and do that. I prepared it the other way. And she went back in and came out and said, okay, you can do it the way you were doing it. She said, well, do you want to have any interest in playing Riker? And I said, none whatsoever. And
smart man.
So they let me audition, and I did about 5 or 6 auditions, and then they gave me the part.
I think that would have been really funny if she was like, can you do it like a machine? You're like, no problem. You're going, hello, Captain Picard. What is your bidding today?
Exactly.
It's an evil robot, Chris.
Yeah, I'm a machine. Yeah, but I think, you know, that's what was... That's what I always loved about Data was that, you know, it's this super, like, the smartest thing on the ship, but he's a kid at the same time because, well, he just doesn't understand.
He's a child. He really is. He's sort of like Harpo Marx was in the Marx Brothers, you know. He was like, yeah. He was like this idiot savant.
Yeah.
But I still thought the show was going to be a complete disaster, which I actually hoped it was going to be at that time because... I didn't want to get stuck doing years of the same thing.
Sorry about that.
It was a letter campaign that Matt started. Who knew?
I was walking around the Paramount lot, which is an amazing place to work. It's the most, like a real old-time movie studio. And I was walking in and I met Patrick Stewart for the first time. And he came up, and I'd recognized him from I, Claudius, mm-hmm. and those sorts of things. I think this is going to be really good.
What an optimist.
Wait, is that you doing the Hertz commercials?
Yeah. I like how the guy who's going to be the star of the thing is expecting it to be good.
Yeah. Pontiac.
He said, no, I think this is going to be so interesting. And I thought, well, this has got to be good if he talks like that.
I just like to imagine that every night Patrick Stewart goes home from work and he's like, I got these fuckers fooled every day.
Yeah. Hello, but it's not. It's me.
Patrick, we have guests.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like some capers?
Great.
Earl Grey.
Your Patrick Stewart is amazing. That is a flawless Patrick Stewart.
You know, it is the second greatest impression anyone's ever done of anyone. I, you know what first is, and I'm not kidding, the first greatest impression anyone's ever done of anyone. Have you ever heard Dave Thomas's Bob Hope?
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's uncanny.
Yes.
It really is sensational. Mine is.
You're
really
talking about the guy who owns Wendy's, right?
No.
Exactly. Right.
No, you mean that's...
Yeah, they're both dead. It's a really easy impression now.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, look, they look the same. I don't get it. They sound the same too.
Yeah, actually, did he do that on SCTV?
He did. He did a lot on SCTV, and it is it's you can't believe your eyes. Mine is really only second best.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think yours is best.
Did you ever call like Gene or Rick Berman as Patrick Stewart and say, I think Data could use some more lines?
I do. You know, I'm thinking of retiring.
Don't ask me. I'll say I didn't call you.
You know who'd make an excellent captain?
Yes.
Brent.
Exactly.
Isn't Brent remarkable?
I mean, Data really could make the kinds of decisions that would save a crew of humans if you think about it.
Exactly. Engage. Say it, Data.
This really makes up for the time when I was 9 and I missed you at the Boston Star Trek convention because it was sold out, so thanks.
Dreams too come true, Matt.
Patrick Stewart was on the podcast last year, and he talked about how the first season or two, he was just this crusty, like, we're here to work! And that basically you guys kind of took him aside and you're like, you know, this can be fun too. And he said it totally changed his life.
Well, he was in the first season. He was, you know, he had come from the Royal Shakespeare Company. And we had a director on one of the early episodes. We were wild. We would not stop clowning until they said the word action. And then we would jump into character. And we had a director who really couldn't handle it. And one of our producers, Rick Berman, came down to the set and he said, guys, the director has said he cannot come back tomorrow if you guys are going to continue to behave like this. And we all thought it was kind of funny. And and Patrick goes, I'm appalled. I'm appalled at your behavior. We never did anything like this at the Royal Shakespeare. And he was like, I cannot believe this. And I was stifling my laughs at that point. Jonathan was crying. So we thought, oh my gosh, you know, Patrick's really serious. Oh dear. Well, it was in an episode. I don't know if you saw the episode.
Sure did.
Yeah. Well, then you'll remember it was the one where Tasha Yar perished.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. And we lost her. And
we lost her.
Fortunately, I'd already had her.
Whoa! No! Hey! Oh, come on! What? I mean,
for those of you unfamiliar with Star Trek The Next Generation, Data is fully functional and fucked the shit out of her.
I think it probably said that in the stage direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Exactly what it said, actually. And but anyway, she was killed in that particular episode where the director threatened to walk off and Patrick had gotten so upset with us. And there was a moment where he had to give a eulogy at the top of a hill. And he stood at the top of the hill. This was like 2 days later. And he stood at the top of the hill and he was supposed to go into his eulogy and he went, "The hills are alive." And we knew we had him at that point. And from that point on, he was as bad as the rest of us. And,
wow, you ruined a Shakespearean actor.
Very much so. Many others.
But in addition to Star Trek, you released a couple albums as well?
Yes, yes. You know. Well, you know. Because I did my first album, or CD as they call them in this country, was called Old Yellow Eyes Is Back. It was just a collection of standards. It was...
about jaundice.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It was fine. It did okay. But the second album I did was called Dreamland, and it's a far better CD, actually. Available, by the way, on my website, therealbrentspiner.com. And I...
Is that therealbrentspiner.com?
Oh, you know, I guess you can have brentspiner.com back. sorry about that.
That's something Matt would have done.
Exactly. You mean... Yes.
You can also have Michael Dorn back. The website, not the person, you guys.
So Dreamland was...
Yeah, Dreamland is it's sort of a story. It's we think of it, when we put it together, we thought of it as a movie of the mind, sort of. But it was myself and this brilliant singer named Maud Maggart, who is Fiona Apple's sister. She's a genius, one of the great singers of all time. And then Mark Hamill, you might remember him. He did...
that voiceover guy, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
He does a really good Joker.
Yeah. One of the Jokers.
Yes.
You know I did the Joker, right?
Yes, I do know you did the Joker.
Young Justice, right? You all love that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Young Justice.
I could say
anything. Isn't voiceover work the best?
Nothing like it. It's sensational. You show up in your own clothes. You don't shave.
That sounds like
it.
I do that every day.
But you really get to do things in voiceover with acty stuff that you would never get to do in live action.
No, it's true. But I tend to do things in live action I would never do in live action.
That's true. Yeah.
The CD Dreamland, it's really a cool, interesting CD, and I think you'd like it. Most people who've gotten it have not complained about it.
And also,
it's a ringing endorsement.
The reviews are in. I haven't heard complaints. Brent Spiner.
You know what?
Brent Spiner Times.
Let me say this, though.
Brent Spiner Gazette.
I don't answer the phone, so I can't be sure. But
when was the last time the whole cast of Star Trek, or majority of the cast of Star Trek, got together?
Well, we got together once last year when Patrick was knighted and made Sir Patrick.
Yep.
And he He's the only one of us who's been knighted so far.
That's a lot of responsibility. He's really got to defend the kingdom from dragons and so forth. You know what? That's all that means.
They offered it to me. I said no. I said, you know, I think Patrick would really like it. And, but anyway, he was knighted, and we all got together for dinner one night. We went out to a restaurant. He had a big thing, and he paid for everybody, which was unbelievable. And it was thrilling. And then we haven't all we all see each other all the time. We're all very good friends still. But we hadn't all been in the same room since the knighting experience, and he wasn't knighted in the restaurant, by the way.
Wait, did you just go to Medieval Times?
Sir, TGI Fridays.
No, you just went to Medieval Times. That's not a real knighthood.
Yeah.
He was knighted
It was so weird. We were at Medieval Times, and the queen was there. Incredible.
Head trip. He was knighted with a chicken tender. It was beautiful. Exactly. Beautiful ceremony.
Exactly. Mm. Eat with your hands, everyone. But, you know, we did a convention in Calgary about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, right.
And we were all there for the first time, and it was kind of unbelievable. There was a huge convention. There were about 60,000 people there.
Oh, my God.
And we did a panel, all of us together. It seemed to be a hockey rink or something, but...
Canada.
It was great, yeah.
Every open space in Calgary is a hockey rink.
Well, what was weird is there was still a game going on. But
Patrick was calling.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he throws to the forward wing, the left.
Block it, block it!
Oh, you fool.
All right.
Ooh, a fight.
Ooh, it's a power play.
Yeah. Oh, another hat trick. What is a hat trick?
It was great. It was really exciting and fun and kind of amazing because the reason we were all there was it was the 25th anniversary of the beginning of our show.
Gross.
25 years.
Oh, that hurts. That's so weird.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, the original cast, I think it's like 48 years or something like that since that show started.
Ugh.
In 2 years, it'll be 50 years that there's been some kind of Star Trek on the air.
Wow.
It is incredible.
It'll be 50 years since George Takei talked to William Shatner.
I do. It must be interesting for you that there's obviously the handful of Star Trek series, but whenever someone does a Star Trek of some type, you're instantly in this kind of bizarre fraternity, and that everyone
true.
Instantly understands, I would imagine.
Well, you know what? Patrick and my family and I went to London at New Year's, and we were eating in a restaurant with Patrick called The Ivy, which is an amazing place. It's a theater restaurant that people have been coming to since, you know, Noel Coward and Olivier and all those people. And we saw Benedict Cumberbatch across the room.
Oh, that'll get a room going.
Your face was amazing.
Such an amazing
actor. Oh, shit. What happened?
That is.
She just Cumberbatched.
That is undoubtedly the biggest reaction I've gotten so far.
I'm sorry, Dave Thomas's Bob Hope didn't elicit the same response.
So we saw Benedict Cumberbatch across the room. He was sitting with Eddie Redmayne. I don't know if you know who Eddie is. Like, yeah. Anyway, Benedict saw Patrick and myself, and he came over to the table, and he said, I have to talk to you. And Patrick said, all right, call me. He said, no, I have to talk to you now. And he said, what is it? And he says, I've just agreed to do the new Star Trek movie.
No, really?
Yeah. He said, well, is it going to damage my career?
What the fuck is wrong with him?
Let me tell you something, Benedict. You'll never work again after this. And,
did he really say that?
And a bubble and squeak came out of his mouth, and I don't know what that is, but they serve it at the Ivy.
It's like the bubble squeak.
Amazingly, Javier Bardem was being courted to play the villain in the new Star Trek movie, and apparently he asked for too much money, and they were haggling, and they couldn't. And Benedict made a video on his iPhone and sent it to J.J. Abrams, and he was cast that day, which
oh my
is, Really, you got to hand it to him.
That video was episode 2 of Sherlock season 2.
It wasn't really. Why are you cheering?
By the way, can we stop making Sherlocks? Like, there's a, like, wait, first of all, shut the fuck up.
Listen to what he's saying.
Stop making the movies and stop trying to make the American version. Like, just make the Benedict Cumberbatch version. I mean, like, it was just all of a sudden at once. I've never seen
the
an American
franchise. Version was very successful. It ran for 8 seasons.
No, you're
it was
talking about House.
House.
I know, but CBS is trying to make a new Sherlock is what I'm talking about.
That's fine.
There's two Sherlocks?
Yeah, it's going to be called Sherlock Holmes.
Ice-T is going to star as the same character.
So what you're trying to say...
Wait, hang on a sec. What are you saying, sir?
Yeah. You are drunk.
It's the best heckle I've ever had in a comedy club. CBS is doing a new Sherlock! This is a respectable heckle. Yeah, I just mean it's so weird for a franchise to have like three different versions.
Well, that's what happened when your copyright runs out.
Yeah, I guess
anyone
that's true.
Can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Well, there's a lot of original ideas on television. You know? I'm doing a series. I'm thinking about the life of Benedict Cumberbatch.
That you should. Yeah.
See?
You absolutely.
It's just going up to famous people and saying inappropriate things at dinner.
Exactly.
things that are charming but insulting.
He walks up to Christian Bale. I've just agreed to do Batman. Will it ruin my career?
Will it ruin my career?
Am I going to get all meaty and gravelly?
If Morgan Freeman's character knows who I am, do I have to do the voice? I don't understand why you did that.
Lucius.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've been enjoying Fresh Hell. I know you're wearing the shirt, but it's a fun series.
Hey, Brent, where do you think if I wanted to get one of those shirts, I could pick one up?
That shirt is available at the
Reel. Would you like to get one of these shirts?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to be over at the convention tomorrow, and I have a few of these T-shirts with me. But if you can't make it, you can always go to the website freshhellseries.com. Where you can not only buy the T-shirts, you can watch the show. Has anybody here seen it?
I've seen it. Fresh Hell is basically a show where you play yourself.
I play myself.
Then something has happened that has ruined your career and your life, and it's you trying to get back. You play Brent Spiner.
Right. I've done that very trendy thing of being a celebrity who's done something appalling that we call the incident. And... and it has ruined my life. And I'm trying desperately to get back to where I was.
So you're playing Michael Richards.
Yeah. Exactly.
It totally works, you guys.
Yeah. Among others, really. You know, I mean, there's a hint of Mel Gibson in there.
And, well, with Mel Gibson, it's the incidents.
Well, that's true. That's
true.
But but as I was watching, I was kind of like, it's a really great age we live in. You know, in the 80s, you had that idea for that show, unless a television network says, hey, you can make Fresh Hell. That show does not see the light of day.
That's right.
And now you just get to make a show with your friends. Brian Palermo, I know who's
Brian,
hilarious.
He's great.
Great improviser as well.
Yeah. And Jeff Lewis. You know
Jeff Lewis,
right?
Of course.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of the, we were fortunate to get a lot of the actors from the Guild to do the show, and they're absolutely hilarious guys.
I'm glad it's SAG. That's good.
Yeah. But
inside.
We call it the show a sit-trage because although it's a comedy and it's really funny, there's a really serious subtext to it that's about the time we live in and what happens to people when they get dismissed from the lives they've always wanted to be a part of.
Yeah.
And it's about the human spirit of not giving up and trying to come back when, you know, you've hit the very bottom.
That's what I really liked about Lisa Kudrow's The Comeback. I thought that was like a great, tragic,
that was a good
show.
It was. It was. It's not wholly unlike that. It's sort of the Jack Benny show meets Extras in
That's
a way.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
You never reveal your age.
Right, exactly.
Jack Benny joke. People forget it.
You ever heard
they
of Jack
will.
Benny? It's, well, let me try this. How about Benedict Cumberbatch?
What if Benedict Cumberbatch were on the Guild?
Yeah.
These are just, these are works. Like, normal people just shout out sports references, but we're just like, we're mashing up all these nerd things. Together.
David Tennant!
There you go. You found it.
You know, I think I should play Doctor Who.
You should.
Are there any producers
you know what?
From that show here?
Actually, in all honesty, I think you would make a fucking great master on Doctor Who. I think you would make a really great... Can I
play both?
what a twist.
That's a good storyline.
He's got the hand. He's already did the hand thing.
I mean, the Doctor and the Master are two sides of the same personality if you really think about it. Maybe the Master is just an extension of the Doctor's consciousness.
But at the same time, aren't the companions part of it, too? I think they're all part of one personality. Stephen Moffat.
I think the Master and the Doctor are the same person in different time streams.
Oh, my God. What if James Bond is a Time Lord? I already said that.
Wow.
I just Cumberbatched out of my Benedict.
Yeah, there is...
I used your joke, and then I added to it.
You finessed it.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. I can make anything dickier. I can make a dick joke out of anything. I don't care. Did you do a lot of improv at all?
No, I never did improv. I'm a total script guy, but I'm working with a lot of improv guys right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm forced to occasionally come up with something brilliant. because they do constantly. But yeah. I'm fortunate that... Do you know Harry Hannigan?
No.
Harry,
I mean, I was on the show.
He basically writes the show Fresh Hell, and he's really a genius. And the scripts are brilliant. And the guys who are improv guys who come in to do it, they just throw in a bon mot occasionally because the scripts are so good as they're written.
And do you know, with this show, is this a thing where you go like, hey, I want to make this thing. I'll just put up the money for it, and we'll shoot it and see, you know.
That's what's happening right now. I mean, I would love to have a sponsor, but that requires numbers.
Right.
And so that's why it's your responsibility to watch this show. Because I think if we can get enough numbers, and it's getting up there,
you guys
bump.
Just tell your other friends and they tell their friends Coney 2012. We can do it.
Well, you know what? I don't want to do the show more than another 20 or 40, 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do love doing it. And I really do enjoy doing it on the web because you get this, immediate feedback. And it comes from all over the world instantly. It's really quite wonderful.
And you guys also, because you never know when someone has been on a show for a long time and they're connected to a show that people are aware of. I'm always careful. Like, oh, I don't want to bring up too much Star Trek stuff because you probably hear that all the time. But you're very good natured about it. And even backstage, we were talking about something where you called someone. And you said, this is Brent Spiner, and they went, Data, and you're like, I'm in. Like, you knew, like, it's right. kind of nice.
I only use it when I have to. I really, like, dinner reservations, theater tickets.
Parking spots.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm really, really enjoying doing Fresh Hell right now, and I've been doing this convention here. I don't know if you've heard about it. I ask people who come to the table... do you watch my show? Most people have not even heard of it. It really is. What does it take? I've been tweeting up the butt. And
you're
that's
actually,
a problem.
You've been doing up the butt. You got to do it on the internet.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not where the tweets.
Oh,
yeah,
for God's sakes.
Works.
Now you tell me.
You can't even get a Wi-Fi signal in there.
But the people come and I say, do you watch my web series? And they say, generally, no. I didn't even know you had one. And I say, well, will you watch it now? And they go, yes. And I say, you promise? And they go, yes, I promise. And then I give them a card like this with the web address on it.
I promise Brent Spiner I would watch Fresh Hell. You're making people accountable for their.
So what happens if they take the card and they don't watch it?
They burn in hell.
Yes.
I mean...
I wanted to, Brent, we have a few more minutes with you. I wanted to, be able to take a couple questions from the audience. So let's take just, five quick questions from the audience for Brent. This gentleman here, his hand went up. This isn't going anywhere.
CBS has a question.
I'm like
here.
A dog.
They obviously have to be in the front row.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah. Do we have a roving microphone? That's a bottle of booze. nope. All right, here.
Put it up to your lips, Chris.
So good. It's so good when it hits
your
lips.
What is your name?
Will.
Will, what is your question?
Well, actually, it was more for Matt than Brent, but Brent, I loved you.
We'll take this later.
We'll take it later.
No, I really had to go anyway, so...
He really does.
Yes, sir. What is your...
Yes, you can.
Let's let Matt do it.
I could easily do that.
Hey, hey, hey.
Sorry. No, hey.
What just happened?
Just a
Did
little.
Did he Cumberbatch?
Just let me put it in a little bit. What is your name?
James.
Thanks.
James, what is your question?
Would you rather deal with 3 hours of makeup or 3 hours in Arizona heat?
That's a fair question.
You know, I love the Arizona heat. Let me just say this. The Arizona people.
This guy can work a fucking room.
They are the biggest supporters of Fresh Hell. I love the people in Arizona. Yeah. Oh, my God. This is a great group of people. You're a wonderful audience.
Yeah. Brent, this podcast goes national.
Oh, I see.
Question for Brent Spiner, yes?
Come forth.
How did you get the part for Independence Day?
How did you get the part for Independence Day?
Independence Day, that was a sweet little film, wasn't it?
Somebody's getting residuals.
You know what the problem with Independence Day is? It's never on TV.
Right?
I mean, every station, every network, every channel shows it about 10 times a day. What is it, free? They just give it to them?
But I love your line, though. Welcome to Earth. And then you punch that alien out.
No, that was...
No, don't worry about it.
No, Brent said earlier he's the black guy.
Yeah,
Truthfully, I read the script. My manager at the time, of which I have none now, or an agent for that matter, he sent me the script. He says, I think this movie's going to be something. You really should look at it. And so I read it, and I saw this part. And the part in the script was written as just a regular doctor. And I don't. Every now and then, I'm inspired. Not very often, but like twice. And I got this idea. This guy went to Berkeley took way too much acid. And so I went in and I auditioned. Actually, Dean Devlin, who produced the movie, he was there by himself, and he said, you know, I'll be honest with you, I just wanted to meet you because I'm a fan of Next Generation and I don't expect anything here. So I felt really free to do this drugged performance. And I did it, and he filmed it, and he said, all right, I'll let you know. And he showed it to Roland Emmerich, the director, that afternoon. And he said, as soon as it came on, and I went, oh, wow. He went, okay, you're the guy. So they gave it to me. Yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions? A couple more questions? Okay, yes. What's your name?
Sir, may I shake your hand?
That's a very long name. And you've been knighted.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. You wanted to shake my hand?
Shake your hand.
Yeah, I don't do that, but I will.
Give him the card.
I will do the old William Shatner. There you go, man. Yeah.
What is the William Shatner? I missed it.
I'll shake your hand and rub your fucking beard and touch your head.
You have no idea how many diseases Chris has.
I'll touch anyone. I don't care.
Chris is patient 0 through 100.
Could use that. He needs it.
Okay, two more.
Get CBS over here.
Yeah, which this gentleman, because you haven't talked yet.
This Matt.
This is
Matt.
Ed Begley Jr., ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for driving here with vegetable oil.
Thank you.
Okay, have you ever worked overseas?
Overseas what?
Awful question. Next.
Have I ever worked overseas? Well, when I was in the Marines, I
worked overseas.
During Nam.
Was there a particular overseas thing you were looking for?
UK or something like that. What else is like the UK, exactly?
Well, Australia, I think.
Sort of like it.
They have weird
accents.
Have
you ever acted on top of water?
I have worked overseas. I don't know. It depends on what you call work. I have sweated overseas. I know that. I did a movie called Out to Sea, actually, and we worked on a boat. So that was sort of overseas.
That was in international waters.
Yeah.
That totally qualifies. Oh, you got the... Hey, I think you've been seeing the silence. You have hash marks on your... He forgets.
No, no, that's just how many terrible questions he's asked this weekend.
I absolutely
give him a marker for number 8.
You what know is what? Your... I actually love that question because it one size fits all. You could ask anyone that question.
It's actually, he has a condition. It's all he can say.
What is your name?
I'm Sarah.
What's your question?
What was the name of the series that you were on with Peter Dinklage, and was it the other series?
It was Star Trek: The Next Generation.
You said that there were two things that inspired you. Was that one of them?
I said it inspired me?
Oh, two times you were inspired in your life with performances.
Oh, yeah, no. The other one was, well, I don't remember. I was so inspired, it went right out of my head.
It was the farting villain from Master of Disguise.
Exactly. Well, you know, really.
I saw that movie.
You know, not everyone can do that.
Dana Carvey.
No, I was going to say, the other inspiration was Dude, Where's My Car? which, by the way, I think is a very fine film. It's my favorite Ashton Kutcher picture.
Everyone's got a favorite. Yeah, everyone's got exactly. a favorite.
Mine's the one where he does brown face.
But, hey, Sarah.
He did it.
Sarah, actually, the name of that show was Threshold with Peter Dinklage. It was Peter Dinklage and Carla Gugino. That was a really interesting show. And Peter, obviously, is not doing anything now. how great is he on Game of Thrones?
You were saying he was really funny, too.
Yeah, Peter was a funny guy, and he was, like, very, very aware of who he is. He told me one day, he says, you know, I'm sort of the Halle Berry of dwarves. And he really is, yeah. You know. He's
the vessel.
Yeah, he's black, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, he is. He is also Peter Dinklage.
And
is also.
I'd fuck him, right? No, I guess not. Like Billy. Yeah.
I think one more question for Brent, and then we'll, okay, I saw that lady's hand go up first. Come on down.
What I love about Comic-Con audiences is it's really easy to see the pale hands in the dark.
The Pale Hands in the Dark is my favorite novel.
That is such a great...
It's my sequel to 50 Shades of Grey.
There you go.
Right. Oh my God. Fucking, okay. I had never heard of 50 Shades of Grey. I was just in Memphis visiting my dad. My stepmother cannot stop talking about it.
Ooh.
And my stepsister, like,
she's
whenever...
not reading that for pleasure. She's just Cumberbatching all over the place.
That is pleasure.
And my stepsister is a mother of three, and she starts, even if you bring up the book to her, her face turns red and she gets embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's like someone said, I guess the lead character whose last name happens to be Gray. it's great novel writing. I drive an Audi, and she was like, what model? And I was like, it's, I told her what it was. She was like, it's not the R8. That's what Gray drives. I'm like, all right, America. What's your question? Did you blah?
You know, I did early in my career, but
how did you like working on the Guild?
How did I like being
working
on the Guild?
Yeah.
You know, there were tears in your eyes when you asked me that. You're very moved to meet me, aren't you? I loved working on the Guild. I had three words I said. You know, it was like Big Bang Theory. I had three lines. You know. And by the way, that's another thing I would ask you to do. There's a guy. His name is Bill Prady. He's the producer.
Oh, Bill. Yeah.
You know Bill Prady. Yeah. Yeah. Please tweet him and tell him that I need to be back on the show again. It really irritates.
You should
him.
Give people. You should give people a card that says, I've committed to get Bill Prady to put you back on the Big Bang Theory.
Exactly.
Well, listen, Brent was so kind to come do the podcast. He literally came from the airport. All of his luggage is back in the green room.
Not anymore.
Oh, shit. somebody guard the fucking green room. I mean, none of his luggage is back there. Oh, that doesn't make sense. But you were super, super cool to come from the airport and come do the podcast.
Delighted to be here. I've heard nothing about it ever. And I mean, nothing.
Dad, is that you?
About it ever.
Will Wheaton's on the 10 o'clock show. Do you have a message for Will?
Milt? I call him Milt Wheaton.
I don't know why that's funny, but
I want to ask, really, what the hell happened to the other L?
I don't know.
I mean, he's Will.
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 You just kind of stop.
Will.
Yeah.
No, give him my love. We're like this, mishpucha, yep. as they say in some religion. And no, he's a great guy. We're very close. I love Will.
Well, he speaks very highly of you. And when I initially had said, oh, do you think Brent would do the podcast? He was like, Brent's great. He's really funny. You should totally have him on sometime.
I love your Will.
God, yeah, that's how we talk.
That may be the third greatest impression.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brent Spiner! Thank you so much for coming out tonight, you guys. Because there's a 10 o'clock show, we can't really do a signing in between the show, but we can like high-five you guys as you leave. Just really quickly, because they have to turn the room around. We have Nerdist t-shirts. Jonah also has a limited number of his show, hello, of his album, Hello, Mr. Magic Plane Person, Hello, available as well. No pressure. You don't have to buy anything. We're just happy enough that you guys came. Thank you so much for coming. And I will, if you guys are going to Phoenix Comic Con tomorrow, I will be there walking around just checking shit out. So thank you so much for coming, everyone. Enjoy your career.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your home computer files from anywhere you can carry your iPhone or iPad. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Nerdist.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now, in hardcover or digital editions, wherever you get your books.